So today I'm talking about peace versus anxiety. And I didn't prepare this small parable because it only happened to me this morning. Most of you will know, if you didn't know, that I lost my phone quite a while ago. And that caused some anxiety in my life. And I'm sat at the back this morning doing the notices. And I feel something in my trousers that wasn't there before, and I leaned and I put my hand on this pocket, and it's my new phone that I've gone to great lengths to get, and on the other side is my old phone. I just want to testify, I don't really know what to say, but I'm happy that I found this. And I think the parable is, the whole time it was in these trousers I haven't worn for ages. And I'm running around, where's my phone, looking in every gap, texting, phoning people with my new number. And the whole time it sat about 3 feet away from my head every single night. So there's a lesson about anxiety there. There's a lesson about the peace of God. Often what we're looking for is right there in front of us the whole time, just waiting to be revealed. Isn't that amazing? We can all go home now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But now, I'm going to keep the same number, okay? I'm just going to let this sit there. But I'm grateful because of all the photos that I get to keep as well. So I'm going to talk this morning about peace versus anxiety. And I believe it's God's will for us to walk in God's peace, amen? He doesn't want us to walk all the time in anxiety and stress and fear. And the Bible says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. So you and I have been called to peace. This isn't something, some distant imagination dream we have. As the body of Christ, we're called to peace. And just to be open and vulnerable with you, I actually struggle with this, if I'm really honest. Anxiety is something that I wrestle with, and I've said many times, and other preachers talk about position and condition, and our position in Christ, we're justified, it's just as if we'd never sinned, we're sons, we're daughters of the King, that's our position in Christ, but it's the condition bit that we struggle with and we wrestle with. And one of the things I wrestle with in my condition is anxiety, and anxiety, like fear, is actually normal. Sometimes the low level of anxiety is okay. Fear is okay to a certain degree. Like fear is okay when I'm driving through the lion enclosure with my family in my car. Fear keeps me in the car. I'm not going to open the car and go, I fear nothing. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I ain't getting out of that car when we're in the lion enclosure. And the same with anxiety. Sometimes anxiety is a good thing. Like when I wake up on a Sunday morning, my mind, body and soul is different to when I wake up on a Friday morning, which is usually my day off. I wake up in the morning, you know, when you're trying to work out what day it is, and when it's got ping, it's Friday, okay, I can just relax and ease into the day. When it's Sunday, it's like, psh, okay, right, got to get up. Okay, there's a certain low level of anxiety that kind of makes me, okay, now I need to check in with what I prepared and that kind of thing. But if anxiety is left out of control, it can actually be crippling, like fear. It can be crippling in our lives. And anxiety is described as a feeling of worry, nervousness or unease about something with an uncertain outcome. It's a feeling of worry, of nervousness or unease about something with an uncertain outcome. So again, if there's something you're facing with an uncertain outcome, like a for me, if I'm preaching, I'm uncertain about exactly which words I'm going to say. I'm uncertain about what's going to happen. How am I going to deliver things? How are things going to go? But that's okay because it keeps me driving. But if I'm crippled by anxiety, that's not a good thing, and I don't believe it's God's will. And talking about Brexit as well, I think in this country, anxiety is rife because we've got our government who are uncertain. We're all uncertain about where it's going. It's whatever side of the Brexit fence you sit on, if you're sat in the middle, there's all this anxiety. No one really knows what's going on. And I believe it has an impact on our country that thousands upon thousands of people are reading what's happening, we're uncertain, arguing. And actually it's challenging for our government because they just argue with each other a lot. And other countries watch Parliament live as an entertainment. Did you know that? Just all these British people just arguing with each other. And I don't think it's good for our country, which is why God tells us to pray for our leaders. And I believe whether you believe in Brexit or not, I believe we should be praying for Boris Johnson, that he would do things according to what he believes in his heart and in integrity. I think God calls us to do that. I heard a sermon recently from a family friend about patience, and he pointed out that actually when we say we need more patience, what we're saying is that we have impatience. We usually say, I need more patience. But actually, deep down, we need to get rid of impatience. We're actually saying we have impatience. I think it's the same with anxiety. So we can say, I need more peace. Lord, I need more peace. I need more peace in my life. But actually, deep down, you need to admit that you've got anxiety. You've got a restlessness. You've got some unbelief in there. You've got some difficulty in your heart and some mistrust in God. And actually we have to engage in anxiety and say, this doesn't belong to me. And actually turn away from it and turn to something else. We need to repent. That's what repent means. It means turn away and look. It means turn away from your sin when you become a Christian. Turn away from your depraved nature. And then you look to Jesus for forgiveness of sins. That's what repentance is. You turn and act. And with anxiety, we need to turn from it and look to Jesus and look to something else. And I want to present three things today for us to turn towards. Now, there will be other things to investigate, but three things for us today to turn towards. And we're turning away from anxiety. So I just want you to just position your heart to think about something in the future that's causing you unease, causing you some restlessness, maybe there's a bit of mistrust in the Lord there, and just turn away from it. And I want you to turn towards these three things this morning. And my prayer is that as I'm speaking, Holy Spirit Himself will be ministering to your heart. Because oftentimes Holy Spirit ministers to my heart when I'm speaking. I don't just want this to be a mental ascent and information. I want Holy Spirit. My prayer is that Holy Spirit would actually begin like a master surgeon to actually engage in some heart surgery in you this morning. That if you're struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling with unrest, the nervousness that's gotten out of control, that Holy Spirit Himself, Lord, that you would minister to each and every one of us. Now the first thing I want us to turn away from anxiety to is knowing our position in Jesus. Knowing our position in Jesus. Because actually, as Christians, we need to know our position before God is peace. Much of our anxiety is actually symptomatic of a sense deep down that we don't have peace with God. Like many people are scared of dying because they fear God. They don't even know they do. They've suppressed God so far down that they can't even see it, but they're actually running around covering their minds and their attention with anything but that truth down the bottom because they fear God. And actually, in our condition as Christians, we can actually become crippled with anxiety because we think we come into church every Sunday and we're carrying this restlessness, this anxiety, will God really accept me? Will God really want me to worship Him? Will God really accept my worship? And then it gets to Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and we're carrying around this sense of, does God want me? Does God accept me? And God Himself has declared it as Christians to us, that it's just as if we'd never sinned. This is a scandal. This is a scandal of grace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, it's talking about how Jesus has set us free. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a statement of truth. You're talking about the truth setting us free. Because it's just as if we'd never sinned, because we're believing in Jesus, we're trusting in the work of another, because that's the truth, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is a legal term that declares to us from God, it's just as if we'd never sinned. We are justified. I'll read it again. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have it. That's it. That's the truth. We have peace with God. Oh, that's just amazing. Romans 4:17. As I spoke a bit last week about God giving life to the dead and calling into existence things that do not exist. So God calls into existence things that don't exist. See, we were dead. God called into existence us being alive in Christ. Like, God did that. We didn't do that. We didn't work to a certain degree and then suddenly we got the finishing line and suddenly, well, now I've got peace with God. It was God's work. God did that. The Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt, the legal demand, the debt that we had, it stood against us. We had a debt of sin that stood against us and said, you're a sinner. And Christ nailed it to the cross. So now it's just as if we'd never sinned. This is amazing. I mean, it crushes anxiety, this kind of stuff. Deep down, if you allow that to penetrate your spirit and your heart and your being, it's incredible. We're alive. We were dead, now we're alive. We were sinners, now we're saints. Once we were unreconciled, we were enemies of God. Now we're reconciled to God from a work of God. It's God's work. God did it. None of us are capable of doing that. It's amazing. Romans 5:11 says, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So does it say we have now earned reconciliation? It says no, we have received reconciliation. We have received reconciliation. And the challenge for us as Christians is this. Nobody gets pregnant holding hands. No one gets pregnant holding hands. You and I can listen to this truth. We can read it. We can hear it said. We can look in the mirror and say, I am justified. I am justified. You are justified. You are justified. It's just as if you'd never sinned. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. I'm not saying that's bad. But no one gets pregnant holding hands. Until God Himself comes inside you and stirs you up and fills you with Himself and bursts open these truths, it will always be a distant thing for us. We have to have God Himself impregnate us with His love, with His truth, with His word. See, we can read this. And I'm not saying memorizing scripture is not a good thing. Of course, these are good things to do, to remind ourselves of who we are. But we want God Himself to come inside us and bury Himself in us and burst open His love for us. That when we look at the scriptures and they say we are justified, we don't just see it as information, we see it as an encounter with God Himself. That's what we're after. That's what we want. You see, God has done the work in Christ to position us to be raised with Him and seated with Him in heavenly places. And it is God who continues to reveal it to us. And now we're going to turn to, that's linked to the second thing we're going to turn to. So we're turning away from anxiety and we're looking at our position in Christ. And we're crying out to the Lord that He would reveal Himself to us and cause Himself to help us see this. And the second thing we're looking at is humility. And you read from that passage, George, from Philippians 2, which is very relevant to this, that humility is such a powerful thing. The Apostle Peter writes to a church suffering persecution, and he says in 1 Peter 5:11, clothe yourselves, all of you, he's writing to a church, clothe yourselves, every one of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you. What does it mean to be humble? It means to depress, to bring yourself low. And it's interesting how he says, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. This is something we do. We humble ourselves. We bring ourselves low. Not to be depressed, but to go low. And it's something we do before God. We humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Do you know, Jesus in the Gospels many times reaches out his hand. In Matthew 8:2-3, the leper says to Jesus, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. The mighty hand of God. Jesus is God. Mighty hand of God. Jesus stretches out his hand. Oh, Jesus. Matthew 8:14 says, Jesus enters Peter's house and he sees Peter's mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her and she rose and began to serve him. The mighty hand of God in Jesus Christ. Will we humble ourselves and admit that we need more revelation about our position? I do. I need more revelation that it's just as if I'd never sinned. Because with the natural eyes, sin's still a problem. And we need more revelation. Because faith is given to us in itself. It's a work of God that opened us up to who Jesus is. And it continues to be a work as we humble ourselves before him. And are we humble enough to admit that in our condition we need cleansing? Are we a church that says, well, we know our position, our condition, we're not going to talk about it. We're okay, thanks. We've got our church masks on. I don't suffer from anxiety. I don't suffer from unease. I'm just going to pretend to everybody that everything's okay, knowing full well not everything is okay. And hopefully the Lord will shatter the lies that everyone else is okay and you're not. It's amazing how you walk into a room and you just suddenly think everyone's fine except you. Has anyone ever had that? Yeah, you just walk around, it's like, and you're walking down the street and you're thinking, why are all these people so perfect, happy, no pain, no suffering, no challenges, no anxiety? It just feels like it's a lie. It's a lie to get you to look in on yourself, but we lay that down. And it's not surprising that we wrestle with this, because interestingly, when we humble ourselves, it doesn't always bring peace. In 1 Peter, who saw the mighty hand of God, he says, humble yourself, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We know that scripture well. So he's telling us to humble ourselves, then cast anxiety onto God. So when you humble yourself, it's anxious. It causes us to be anxious when we humble ourselves. And it actually causes the enemy to be attracted. What's going on here? They're humbling themselves. There's anxiety. Ooh, this person's trying to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God. It's making them anxious because they've got to trust. They've got to release everything to the Lord. They're anxious. Something's happening. I'm going to come round and I'm going to see what I can do. And actually try and stick a few lies in there. Don't worry, don't be humble, be proud. You can make this on your own. Isn't that amazing? Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God and cast all your anxieties onto him. Humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God is not something that is just automatic and it becomes, oh great, I've humbled myself before the Lord. Now I'm completely free forevermore. It's a challenging thing to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. It's challenging to put others before yourself. It's challenging to put your life in God's hands. It's challenging, and it can cause anxiety, to say, Lord, I'm giving you my whole life. And I believe you're going to deliver me, you're going to heal me, you're going to protect me. But even if you don't, I'm still going to worship you. And so that's when the enemy comes in. And he wants to destroy our humility. He doesn't want us to be humble. He doesn't want us to be low. He wants us to think we can make this thing on our own. He doesn't want us to trust God. He's looking for the humble. He's looking to bring pride into your life. But Peter says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, humility is a suffering. It's a dying to your will and allowing God's will in your life. It hurts. It's a suffering. Putting others before you, putting the Lord's will before your own, it hurts. It's challenging. But it's not the end. Peter writes, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, humility is a suffering that reaps rewards of the revelation of God's restoration in your life. Humility is a suffering that reaps rewards eventually, where you will experience the confirmation of God in your life, the strengthening of God in your life, and God establishing you as a son and a daughter. And our job is to submit to God. In James 4:7 it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So we need to submit to God. And when you're submitting to God, you're resisting the devil. Because you're not looking at him, you're looking at God. You're submitting to God. You're humbling yourself before God. And I'd like to suggest that being restored and confirmed and strengthened and established by God himself is a place of peace. That is not a place of anxiety. That is not a place of unrest. So stand firm in your faith, he says. And the reward that we get for that is a revelation of his care for us. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. See, when you humble yourself before God, he rewards you with a revelation that he cares for you, and that's the reward. Him. God himself is our reward. The priest, the Levitical priest, their reward was God himself. And now all of us are priests. Our reward is God himself. So when you have a revelation that God cares for you, don't think, oh, what am I going to now do with that revelation that God cares for me? That's your reward. God cares for me. We might not always see what's happening tomorrow, the week after, the challenges, the reasons for anxiety. We may not always see. But if God told us all that, we wouldn't need to trust. But the point is, we turn away from anxiety and we look to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And we will be challenged in that. But you submit to God, you keep submitting, knowing your position. Knowing that if you're challenged, it doesn't uproot your position. You're challenged because you are a son. You are challenged because you are a daughter. That's why you're being challenged. Because you're precious. And what you do is eternally real. Think of a better word than that. What you do is eternally relevant. What you do will never end in that respect. If you bear fruit for the kingdom, you're bearing fruit into eternity. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. As we read from Philippians 2, an amazing example of humility, Jesus, he's talking about Jesus, says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests," so it's okay to look to your own interests. You don't discard yourself, but you don't only do that. You look to the interests of others. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." This is the mind of Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself by becoming obedient. See, the fruit of humility is obedience. And that is number three that we're turning to. We're turning away from anxiety and looking to our position that Jesus has done. God has done it. We're turning away from anxiety and we're looking to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. We're living a life of humility. And we're turning from anxiety and we're looking to obey the Lord. But there's an awesome twist that had me jumping around in the office on Thursday. I'll testify that I got up out of my seat and I moved. And I jumped. And now I know when you come to the book of Romans, many of you will know it's an intense book. And there's loads, seems to be an eternal ocean of discovery. And sometimes it makes me anxious reading that book because I'm just like, what is going on? It's amazing. But there's an obedience to faith for us. We're turning away from anxiety and we're looking not just to obey in some random way. There's an obedience of faith. Paul says in Romans 1:5, he bookends the book of Romans with it. He says he receives grace. This is the Apostle Paul. He received grace and apostleship. So he received grace and his ministry to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of Jesus. Okay, then at the end of Romans, he ends the letter with the words, "according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith." And this is amazing. This is what had me jumping up. I'm feeling a bit excited now. It's amazing. Can't you see? This brings us back to our position. We are obeying God when we believe that Jesus has set us free from all sin. We are obeying God when we believe it's just as if we'd never sinned. We're demonstrating faith. We are actually walking in an obedience of faith when we're saying, "Thank you that I'm free. Thank you that the cross was enough. Thank you that your blood is enough. Thank you, Jesus, that you have set me free from anxiety, unrest. Thank you, Lord, that because of Jesus I can trust you. I'm obeying you. I'm obeying God by doing that." Often we think, "I'm obeying God. What does it mean? That means I've got to get up at 3 a.m. and pray for 17 days without eating, drinking or talking to anyone. I've got to obey God. I'm talking to myself here. Like anxiety, right? I've got to please God. I want to do what God says. I'm a son. I'm in ministry. I've got to obey God." And the Lord says to me in that office, "You're obeying me when you're rejoicing in the fact that I'm justified." That's obeying God. I mean, there are obviously other ways to obey God, but we're talking about this right now. Obeying God is to rejoice in our justification. Isn't that amazing? The grace of God is amazing. See, we saw last week how we're glorifying God when we step into that which God has called into existence. We're glorifying God when we rejoice in what He's brought into existence, the fact we're alive in Christ. We're glorifying God. As we know, the Westminster Catechism says the chief end of man is to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. John Piper says the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. So you glorify God when you're enjoying Him. You're not glorifying God when you're not enjoying God. God says, John Piper says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So God is glorified when you see someone satisfied in God. And it's the same with this obedience of faith. Not only are we glorifying God when we're enjoying our justification, we're actually obeying God when we're having faith. See, these are eyes of faith. The just shall live by faith. The ones who are justified shall live by faith. And the thing is, when we think about sins, we think, well, sin is a problem. But by faith, we see that we're free from sin. It's faith. You and I, if we look at our flesh and tendencies and our mind and look around us, sin is still a problem. Yet by faith we can say we're free from it. By faith we enter a realm in which sin doesn't exist. It's called the presence of God. When you're engaging God in the Spirit, it's where sin doesn't exist. See, Romans 3:21 says that, I'm going to look it up. Romans 3:21, what does that say? I hope it says something good. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. What's that? The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they're justified by grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See what I mean about being an ocean of discovery? This book's amazing. What it's saying, the righteousness of God has been revealed to us apart from the law, even though the law and the prophets spoke about it. It's talking about Jesus. The righteousness of God has been shown to us in Jesus Christ. And the whole law and the prophets are speaking about Jesus. It's been shown to us. All we need is in Jesus. It's in Jesus. So it's faith in Jesus. It's believing in Jesus. It's been manifested to us for us to be free. And we are obeying God when we're seeking this truth out. We're obeying God when we're enjoying this truth that it's been revealed to us. And now we're free in Christ. It just seems too good to be true. I thought obeying God was just really painful and challenging, like, all the time. I know, I'm not saying you know, when you surrender your will to God's will, there will be challenges. I'm not saying there's no difficulty and circumstances and all that, but I'm just encouraging you, if you want to as a Christian, you should want to glorify and obey God. I mean, we do. We're Spirit-filled believers. We want to glorify God. We want to see His name lifted up. We want to obey Him. We want to please Him. And He's saying to us this morning, if you want to glorify and obey me, rejoice that it's just as if you'd never sinned. Live in that realm of faith. The just shall live by faith. Brothers and sisters, enjoy the reality that you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You have it. Humble yourselves before the wonderful truth that it was a work of God outside of yourself that saved you and declared you legally just before Him. It was a work outside of yourself. Rejoice that you are enjoying God's work through Jesus. You are obeying Him. Rejoice that when you're enjoying God's work, you're glorifying Him. See, the awesome thing is, all of these things came before anxiety. God came before anxiety. God came before stress. God came before unbelief, unrest. And so when we humble ourselves and look to the reality that we are in Him, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Live in that reality. God loves you and gave himself for you. Through Christ's humble obedience to the Father, it's opened up a realm for us to walk as if, just as if we'd never sinned. The realm of faith. It's a real place. Just going to close by reading from Philippians 4:4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Brothers and sisters, the Lord is at hand. The mighty hand of God, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Know that you can approach God. You can approach God. You have peace with God through a work of Jesus. Outside of ourselves, we have peace with God. We can approach God. Don't be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication, so you can approach God with thanksgiving. What are you going to thank him for? Thank you that I'm justified. Thank you that because of the blood of Jesus, I am set free. Remember, I pointed out last week that Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be..." And he goes on, and he doesn't mention forgiving of sins until well down in the prayer. When you approach God, thank him for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, that you filled me with your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, it was a work outside of myself. I don't even understand sometimes, Lord, why you did it, but you did it, and I'm going to choose to believe because it's the truth. And I'm going to allow the truth to set me free. I'm not going to walk as a worm. I'm not going to walk as someone who's condemning themselves all the time. The devil wants that. I'm going to humble myself before your mighty hand and receive the truth and reject pride and receive the truth. I'm saved because of you and only you. And only you can continue to help me with my condition. I can't do it on my own, Lord. It's by your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that was in Jesus Christ before time began. That's approaching God with thanksgiving. And as if you can find the time, your problems start popping up. But sometimes you can pray for a long time and your problems have gone. Anxiety has been crushed by faith. Anxiety has been crushed by glorifying God. Anxiety has been crushed by obeying God, by believing it's just as if you'd never sinned. You're at peace with God. And he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." There is a protection. There is a guard of protection in the peace of God that is revealed to you as you turn away, you repent, turn away from anxiety and look to your position and celebrate it. You turn away from anxiety and you humble yourself. You turn away from anxiety and you look to be obedient in faith. So Lord, I thank you for what you've done today. I thank you, Lord, that you have made us righteous in your sight. A righteousness apart from the law has been revealed, even though the whole law was pointing to Jesus. Here it is, it's in Jesus. Now we can enjoy walking in the Spirit as you would have us, according to your word. And I thank you for the ministering in our hearts that's happened today, Lord. And I pray that this would continue to happen, Lord. As we humble ourselves and as we attract challenges, Lord, I pray you would help us to stand firm in the faith that we are justified. And it's all in Jesus. That we might reap the rewards of restoration and strength and an establishment in you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we love you, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just Just rest in His presence. Just focus on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.